I am very grateful for the very Reverend Dr. David McGahey, who was a very close friend of Dr. Craig, for agreeing to come and open God's word to us now. Dr. McGahey.
I'm going to read just a few verses today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read the first five verses. But before I read this portion, may I also today, on family's behalf and on behalf of the congregation of Mourne, extend to Brian and Jennifer and family our prayerful sympathy. Dr. Craig was someone who was special to us as a family and someone who was special to us in Mourne. And we're ever thankful and grateful to God for allowing him those years just to come and assist in the congregation. Because I can say this, that all of us who were with him and who heard him, we were blessed and encouraged even through his ministry. But we want to read now just these five verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And we know that God will bless to us these words from his truth. You know, as we have gathered in the meeting house here in Portadown, we have come that we might thank Almighty God, as already has been said, for a servant of the Lord, one who gave his life to serving Jesus Christ in our province, and indeed in our world. We've listened to a very fine tribute paid to Dr. Craig by Dr. Allen. But I believe I would be right in saying this today, that Dr. Craig would not want us centering upon him, but he would want us to center upon Jesus Christ. He would want us in this service to think particularly of the message that he preached for over 70 years. And that's really what I want us to do just now. When Peter phoned me on Friday to tell me of Dr. Craig's death and asking me would I take part in the service, it so happened that I was reading from Romans chapter 15. And there's a 17th verse there, which is, to me, an important verse as I think about Dr. Craig. And what does it say? Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. And you know, that was the man. Glorying in Christ Jesus in his service to God. His preaching was biblically based and most certainly was Christ-centered. John Stott writes in his book, Authentic Christianity, I pity the preacher who enters the pulpit with no Bible in his hands or with a Bible that is more rags and tatters than the Word of God. He cannot expound Scripture because he has no Scripture to expound. He cannot speak, for he has nothing worth saying. But to enter the pulpit with the confidence that God has spoken, that he has caused what he has spoken to be written, and that we have this inspired text in our hands, then our head begins to swim, our heart to beat, our blood to flow, and our eyes to sparkle with the sheer glory of having God's word in our hands and on our lips. I tell you this, John Stott would not have to pity Dr. Craig, because here was someone who was biblically centered and someone who constantly wanted to lift up his Saviour. He sparkled as he preached. First time I ever heard him was in the Mall Presbyterian Church in Armagh. Now, I'm going back almost 60 years. And it'd be lovely if I could stand on the pulpit today and say, I can remember everything he said that morning. But I can't. I don't know what he said. But I do know this, that when he entered the pulpit in the Mall, he brought with him something of the presence of God. His face shone, even as he presented to us the word of God. What then was the message that he sought to proclaim? It was a message, as we've said, that centered upon the person and work of Christ. Like Paul there in 1 Corinthians 2, I believe he could say, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Firstly, he centered on the person of Jesus Christ. Now, as far as Dr. Craig was concerned, Christ was unique. He was unique in his conception. He believed that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He believed that. Again, he presented Jesus Christ as unique in his life. Christ came into this world and was surrounded by sin, and yet he didn't sin. What does Scripture say? He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Dr. Craig believed that. He had to be the sinless Lamb of God if he were to bear away the sin of the world, and he was. He was unique in that the promises he made he could fulfill. Remember what he said? "I lay down my life, and if I lay down my life, I will take it again." What other man could ever have said that? He was unique. And was he not also unique in that he is the only Saviour? You know, we hear a lot today about how we come into the kingdom of God. But as far as Dr. Craig was concerned, there was one way into the kingdom of God, and that was through Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He centered on the person of Jesus Christ. But not only did he center on the person of Jesus Christ, but he centered on the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, what do you see as you stand before the cross? What did Dr. Craig see as he stood before the cross? Three things. Firstly, he saw the awfulness of sin. What put Jesus Christ on the cross? It was sin, your sin and mine. You see, sin destroys. It destroys the relationship that we can have with the Holy God. And it destroys our lives. And as we stand and we look at the cross, we see that Christ was paying the price for our sin. We see the awfulness of sin, but we see something else, don't we? We see the love of God. Now, sometimes we speak about love. Sometimes we talk about love. You know, it's much more important that love be demonstrated. And there on the cross, God was demonstrating his love for us. God so loved that he gave. The Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. It's at the cross we see the love of God. We see something else, don't we? At the cross we see that salvation is a gift. You can't merit it. We can't bring it about. It is something which we accept. Jesus Christ, God's Son, purchased it. And we accept that by faith. He's centered upon the death of Jesus Christ. One other thought. I believe that in his preaching, he's centered upon the living Christ, upon the contemporary Christ. You know, when Jesus died, he rose again, and he lived amongst his disciples. Indeed, he not only lived amongst them, but he lived in them. What did Paul say? I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, why does Christ live in our lives? By his Holy Spirit. Why? He lives in our lives by his Holy Spirit that he might sanctify us. We've already heard of Dr. Craig's interest in Keswick and Port Stewart, Faith Mission and other groups. But wherever he went, he held on to the Presbyterian doctrine of sanctification, that it is a work of God's Spirit whereby we are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. He's centered on the Holy Spirit being that agent of sanctification in people's lives. Then again, the Holy Spirit is in our lives in order that he might empower us. Now, what happened in the early church? We see a group of Christians and they're hidden away. And then comes Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. And as a result of Pentecost, those people are transformed, they're changed. And out they go in power to preach Jesus Christ and to live for Jesus Christ. You know, in the many conversations I had with Dr. Craig, I know this, that nothing gave him more pleasure than to know the transforming power of Christ and the Holy Spirit in the lives of individuals within this congregation. He saw folks, by the power of the Holy Spirit, giving themselves to the Presbyterian Church in Ireland as ministers. He saw them going overseas as workers. He saw them becoming leaders and teachers in this congregation. He saw them coming together as prayer warriors. He saw them do something else. He saw them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, go into their homes and in their homes live for Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers. One final thought. And it's this. That the Holy Spirit is with us in order that he might comfort, in order that he might strengthen, in order that he might help. What did Christ say to his disciples? I'll be with you to the end of the world. I shared in grief that Dr. Craig experienced in the death of Olive and in the death of Maud. I remember coming to see him in Maud's death. And he met me at the door, hands out. We clasped hands and we embraced. And I remember saying to him, Dr. Craig, words fail us at this time. And he whispered into my ear, God is able. You see, he believed in the enabling power of Christ in whatever situation we faced to lift. The message, that's what he wants us to center on today. The person of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, and Christ is alive and with us. But there's one other thing I must say today, and it's this. I believe that the message of salvation which Dr. Craig presented, to an extent, depended upon the life that he lived. Some of you have heard the story before of Sadhu Sundar Singh. He went to a home in India to visit. He went up to the door of the home and he knocked. And a little girl came to the door and opened it. And as soon as she opened it and looked up into his face, she ran away into the kitchen where her mother was. And when she got to the kitchen, her mother said, "Who was at the door?" And the wee girl said, "I don't know, but he has such a lovely face. I think it must be Jesus." When Dr. Craig came into our home, when he came into our congregation, he brought something of Jesus with him. And that's what made the message which he preached so powerful. May God help us to continue to give God thanks for the ministry that we remember today.